Take a minute with me and think of how many verses you can recall with peace in the verse, or how many hymns you can cite in whole or in part with peace in that.
All right, what do you want us to name?
Peace.
Wonderful peace.
That's a hymn.
Peace in the valley.
Peace in the valley.
I've got peace like a river.
Okay.
The God of hope. It speaks of joy and peace in believing.
Okay. Very good. Others?
My peace I leave with
you. Okay.
Peace, wonderful peace.
Okay. Anyone else?
Romans 5:1.
Yep, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Others? Peace. Okay. Philippians? Anything else?
It is well with my soul.
Okay.
Like a river.
Thank you, Emil. Others? Peace.
My peace I leave with you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Peace that passeth all understanding.
Yes.
Okay. Is that about sum it up?
So many.
Peace. All right. Isaiah 26. I thought I'd share something with you tonight that occurs to me as I read this portion of Scripture. Verse 1, Isaiah 26. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, which is a topic for consideration on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. If you'll just travel over to Isaiah 57, it is there again repeated in verses 18 or verse 19 through 21. Isaiah 57 at verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. Think about this matter of peace for a moment. We find in Ephesians 2, for example, at verse 14, 15, and 16, that Christ is our peace. He is our peace. And there, the word in the New Testament is a word that has the sense of making something whole again that had been broken. So when we understand that Christ is our peace, inasmuch as he came to seek and to save the lost, it was the lost that were broken and needed to be made whole. And that can only happen by faith through grace in the shed blood of Christ. You quoted a verse here tonight, Romans 5 and verse number 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Same word there. That which was broken in two has been mended and made one through Christ. We also had another verse, I think Jenny mentioned, a quote in part out of John 16, where again the word is twice used in reference to something the Lord Jesus said about the Comforter. When he said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, peace twice occurring. We understand that Jesus had told his disciples that he had to leave, but he would not leave them comfortless. And he would provide an insulator. We also had a quotation that the peace of God that passes all understanding, the kind of peace that defies intellectual graphing out, it is just something that God gives. Now, when we think about peace, I want to illustrate, give you a little object lesson tonight. This old world is full of turmoil. It's sort of like the North Atlantic in the winter season. Icy winds, unpredictable weather patterns, calm, reasonably calm one day, but horrific conditions the next day. If it's anything is predictable about that in the winter, is that it's unpredictable. You just don't know. Except one common thing. It is always cold. Now, I don't know about you, but we get into the time of the year now where cold is uncomfortable. I don't like cold. You know, I'm not advocating making a bolt someplace into the tropics, but I don't like cold so much. And I remember as a young man learning something about the dynamic of layering that I never caught on about when I was a kid at home. You know, my grandmother always would say to me, she said, when you go out and play in the wintertime, Danny, you make sure that you dress warmly and you need to layer your clothing. I said, okay, Grandma. But usually what I did was grab a jacket, throw it on, put a tassel hat on and go. That was good. Didn't even button it up, didn't zip it up, just went. Didn't bother anything. Now that I'm old man, I understand more perfectly now the art of layering your clothes whenever you're entering someplace that's cold. And may I say on one way that this old world in which we live is icy cold wind that just beats in your face. And as a young man, I remember I lived for a whole year in North Dakota, and it didn't really bother me when I first got my orders about that, because, you know, I'm a Pennsylvania boy, grew up in western Pennsylvania, knew all about winter. Didn't really bother me a whole lot until you arrive in North Dakota, and the first thing they issue you is this giant bag. Say, now, sonny, open up your bag. You pull the bag open, and in the bottom there's a pair of mucklucks. Never saw mucklucks before. They look very ugly. It's certainly not to wear them to make a fashion statement. They look very clumsy. You could not hardly run in them, but they were there, and they were there for a purpose. Then there were the bottoms, sort of like bib overalls, but multi-layered with insulation. And then there was an M1 jacket, which on a normal, reasonable climate type day, it would be a standalone jacket, sufficiently warm for anybody concerned. That was in there along with a huge parka. And then on the side of it, there were two giant gloves, like mittens that come like this. Okay. And then there was a mask. They were in this bag. That was the primary issue. And the instructions were this. When you are called upon to be posted, that bag will be with you at all times. Should you fail to have that bag on your person when you are posted, that will put you a week in jail. That will be a permanent blot on your military record. And if for some reason you have the bag and you do not wear the equipment when it's appropriate, and you wind up in the infirmary with frostbite and or whatever, amputated toes or fingers, you will spend time in jail. We cannot afford to have people lose time on the post. So, okay, you got that right. I soon found out why. Can I just say it this way? In serving in the missile fields of North Dakota, the first place they stuck me was just a spitting distance from the Canadian border, as far north in North Dakota as you could get. And it was plenty cold. 3 days there, 3 days home. 3 more days there, 3 days home. That went on and on for the winter, my first winter there. I learned a little bit about layering, and I understood then why the necessity of the bag was because of the severity of the weather. I just point all that out and make a big, long story short, like a geezer would do, to make this point. That when you look at Isaiah 26 and verse number 3, you will see the word perfect, and you will see the word peace. And it's the same word, shalom. Shalom. So when you read the verse, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Or we could read it without damage, Thou wilt keep him in peace. Peace. It corresponds to what Jesus said in John 14, said, my peace I give, my peace I leave with you. Double wrapped now to give you an object lesson. I brought one of my fine outdoor jackets. I want you to see this. Both sides of the jacket. It has a little bit of lining to it, not much, but it's okay at 45 degrees for about 5 minutes, okay? It's sort of like it breaks the wind. It's not a nice jacket. Very nice. Now, if I'm instructed to load up and head to Motel 6 in the North Plains, here's a problem. I'm not at peace with that. I don't have the gear. I don't have the gear. It's not this will never do. So what do? Well, I resort to my next fine piece of haberdashery. I want you to notice this here. This is a nice hoodie. Okay? And you throw this over top of this jacket, and I want to tell you that it does, it really, really does make for a nice insulator. Okay? And this will get you to about, I suppose, 30, 35 degrees for about a half hour. Okay, you can be out that long without being uncomfortable, as long as you have gloves and a hat on. So how does this look? Does this make it? Is this stylish? Okay, now to add to this picture, mucklucks, gloves, full hooded parka, and a mask that you can't see anything but these things sticking out. Okay? This would not make me very happy either. I could not be at peace with this equipment. Yes, I'm double layered. Matter of fact, I have a wife beater shirt on under my blue shirt. And then I have, as you saw, the black jacket put on. I have this on. So I have four pieces of clothing against my body. But I still would not be at peace in the icy, cold winds of this old wicked world, so to speak. So what must I do, according to Isaiah 26? It talks about the mind who is stayed upon him because it trusts in him. So what do I do? Peace, peace. It needs a double layer, and so not to be outdone. How can I arrive at a place of peace? I want to share with you my final wrap. This is lamb's wool. So I throw that baby over top, and it fits over everything so nice. And I got to tell you, you could wear this with your pajamas and be perfectly at ease in those kinds of weather. It's a beautiful jacket. Off of a dumb lumberjack who was talked out of it. Now I want you to say right now that I am layered perfectly. I have, as we read in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in peace. Peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. My mind can be at peace as I go out into the ice cold winds of this old wicked world and know that that wind is not going to penetrate my soul. And why is that, you say? Well, because I have the wool of the lamb insulating my soul. Double layered. But if you remember what we read there in Isaiah 57, there is no peace to the wicked. And so the wicked is sort of like the guy who has no outer layer to protect. Certainly no lamb's wool, nothing warm, nothing comfortable. He certainly has no fancy hoodie to wear at all. The wicked has nothing. He has no peace afforded. He has no even jacket like this. There's nothing. And so the winds are going to howl and blow. Oh, I better not go any further. I'm down to my wife beater shirt then, and it would not be pretty. But let me say to you this truth. The wicked are laid bare in the ice cold winds of this wicked world. They have no peace. They have no hope. There is no possible mental stability afforded them. I was reading a little storyette written by a man who was just telling in old England, where a distress signal came in from a ship in the height of a storm. And they received the signal, and immediately the captain in the harbor where their vessel was safe summoned his crew, loaded them up, and headed out. And as they went out, as they began to leave the harbor, the storm really, really, really got horrendous. And all of a sudden, the captain piloting the vessel hears this noise coming up the plank, and he bursts into the room there, and it's one of his most trusted associates. Turn around, turn around, turn around, captain. We won't make it back. And the captain said, in the midst of that storm, our obligation is to go. Our obligation is not to come back. So they proceeded out into the ice cold winds of this wicked world, and at peace, I might add, a kind of peace that had this as its credit, having Christ as our peace, having the confidence of what the Lord Jesus himself said when he left planet Earth, my peace I leave with you. And so I say that as you and I walk out into this world, as this winter comes, layer up. Layer up. Keep fresh in the Word. Read these portions of Scripture not as some cold, hard, simple, abstract Sunday school lesson, but that which is personally applicable to your heart and mind. God meant to communicate His Word in the English language for your soul's benefit and for His glory as it is appropriated. I give that to you for your consideration tonight. And remember that we have the peace with God that passes all understanding through our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, we are glad, very glad tonight that no matter what happens, no matter how swift circumstances may change and things go from bad to worse and even worse, that you're the same. You do not change. You are never out of control. You never lose control. And so we are secure in you. We are glad for that. And you have given us a compass to live by, to be directed by. You have given us the very bread of life. We eat and we are nourished up. We are strengthened. You've given us the water. When we drink, we do not thirst. We are satisfied and content with Jesus, our Savior and Lord. We ask your blessing now as we go to prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.